This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Taco to go, taco to, and a big cube. Taco to go, taco to go. Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't taco, lose. Taco, 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 taco. This deal legit. Taco, taco, taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go. $2.99.
From USA Today, the Ravens Wire joins us every Tuesday. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He is Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, first of all, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing well. The Ravens are ushering in a new era. Obviously, you know, you mentioned Justin Tucker. He is out. Tyler Loop, he is in. And, you know, he's going to have to be the one to, from that kicker position, hopefully propel Baltimore deep into the playoffs and hopefully to a Super Bowl, something that Justin Tucker did do his rookie season.
Now, we know that, and we've talked about it, we brought it up with you, Vinny and I, and Nolan have been talking about it for, you know, months, literally, that this was probably the inevitable result with Tucker. Anything curious about the time, the verbiage in the tweet from the Ravens saying it based on the current roster, you know, Hall of Fame kicker versus guy that's never made a kick, et cetera, et cetera. Anything that you find curious about yesterday's turn of events there?
I mean, the Ravens are obviously really pushing the football decision aspect of things. And, you know, the speculation from a lot of people has been that they're doing that to, you know, the investigation is not complete yet. That's something that the Ravens had said that they were going to wait till that concludes to make a decision on Justin Tucker. You know, it feels like Tyler Loop kind of accelerated that process for them. And, you know, it feels like they just didn't, they wanted Tyler Loop in terms of him kind of being their guy, and they understood that they probably couldn't keep two kickers on the roster. They could not keep two kickers on the roster. So, you know, with Tucker there, it would have probably been hard, as people have noted, for Loop to win that job. Now, you know, I don't think that this was purely a football decision, but, you know, it's hard to argue that the performance Justin Tucker had in 2024 didn't contribute to that. I mean, he's someone that, you know, has been so steady for them, but 2024, that feeling of him coming out on the field and thinking, okay, this is money, he's going to nail this, all of a sudden kind of became this, I don't know. Is he going to nail this? He had career worst across the board. So certainly think football is a big part of it. But obviously, you know, with the year he had plus the off-field allegations, I definitely think it was more than a football decision, in my opinion. But I think football certainly did have something to do with it.
Kevin, I think maybe they, you know, the league maybe contacted the Ravens and say, we're getting ready, you know, to make an announcement. So they got rid of him. I'm sure that investigation is, if it's not done, it's close to done, and they know that they're going to suspend him. So I would imagine that the Ravens had some indication. And football decision? No. I would say 90% non-football.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that if it was purely a football decision, I mean, they would have at least let him compete in camp. I mean, that at the very, very least. So, I mean, I agree where, you know, I'm sure that that investigation, it's, you know, it's been going on for a little while now, and the Ravens clearly stated they defer to the NFL for that. You know, they said, hey, we're going to let the NFL do their thing. Once that happens, we'll make a decision. So, you know, would not shock me whatsoever if, you know, the NFL said, hey, you know, just letting you know, we're going to do something here. This is getting close to wrapping up, and, you know, this is what's going on. And the Ravens said, oh, well, all right. But they don't want the Ravens, with the investigation it not being concluded at the time that we're talking today, you know, if they had said, oh, well, you know, we're doing this because of these allegations or because of the off-field stuff, and then it comes back and, you know, the NFL doesn't find anything, I'm sure that, you know, Tucker could file a grievance, the NFLPA could file a grievance, and the Ravens, I think, at that point, they're just trying to avoid the NFLPA's wrath, if you will. So at this point, you know, the Ravens, they had a decision staring them in the face. And, you know, Randy Brown is one of the great kicker evaluators in the league. You know, they trust his evaluation, and Loop is someone who has an NFL-ready leg, something Tucker had coming out of Texas his rookie season. So it's going to feel different with Tucker not kicking in Baltimore, but it's something that I think a lot of people, as we mentioned, anticipated happening.
You know what a lot of people are asking, Kevin, about then, how do you go draft Mike Green?
It's a legitimate question. I mean, it's a legitimate question. Mike Green, I know during rookie minicamp was just trying to move forward with his career. That's kind of the message that he sent. But, you know, when you have a situation like this and then, you know, you go and you are essentially parading around the fact, hey, there's a zero tolerance policy. And that's something that, again, they never officially had, but the Ravens, particularly, I think the moment a lot of people point to is John Harbaugh talking about the Deshaun Watson situation and saying, hey, you know, I'm glad we kind of have that zero tolerance for this type of stuff. And then obviously the Justin Tucker situation happens. They backtrack on that, and then they do draft Mike Green. It paints a picture for some people that's like, hey, you know, you've been talking about stuff this way, or, you know, portraying your team this way, and then all this comes out and all of a sudden it's not convenient anymore. And so it feels like that's kind of what happened here in a sense. Now, you know, for Mike Green and Justin Tucker, it's, you know, people will say, well, it's two different situations, but it comes in the same type of conversation. So, I mean, I agree with you. It's where they're going to have to answer those questions. And I'm sure that will be stuff that continues to pop up for them. And for even Mike Green himself, you know, he can try to move forward with his career. The Ravens can try to move forward with everything. But, you know, that's something that they're going to have to answer to, because I know that they're an organization that, you know, has been portrayed as that. They've kind of leaned into it. And now that all this has happened, it's been kind of it's been a shift from what I think a lot of people have been used to from this organization.
Kevin, probably the biggest disappointment when I walked out there on Sunday, you know, I'm walking down towards the offensive line. I said, damn. You know, I look at my roster and I'm at 51. I don't see 51. You know, and then I ask somebody, where's Emory Jones? You know, and he's got a shoulder. So, I mean, when I hear that, kind of disappointing. I guess that's why, you know, he dropped to the third round. When's he going to be healthy? I'm nervous about that he's never going to reach his strength potential this year. I just don't know how he's going to be ready to play in the fall. That was my biggest disappointment, that, you know, it was something we didn't know about. And then when you find out, it's like, you know, because you had expectations for him probably be that swing guy. Now, he's going to be too far behind.
Yeah, I agree. It feels like at this point it will probably be Voorhees and Falele starting for you at guard this year. You know, it's something that, we look at their roster strengths, weaknesses. I feel like guard is one of those spots where it's such a wild card this year. And I know for Emory Jones, someone that can give you that swing tackle and potentially guard production. But, you know, I think a big thing you mentioned was his strength potential, where, you know, these guys coming in every single off season, once rookies start hitting the weight room, getting on that NFL strength program and getting on those NFL programs in general, it's, you know, important to kind of get them all up to speed and get them reps. And, you know, Harbaugh is talking about how, you know, well, mini camp, you don't want to push it. And I agree, you know, you don't want to push an injury in rookie mini camp or, you know, training camp whenever it comes, but it is disappointing to, you know, spend a third round pick on a guy. He has the injury, and that, you know, it's not anything against Emory Jones. I think he's really talented, but it's unfortunate because I think that he would have had a legit shot to at least compete for that guard spot. Not that he won't. I think he'll have an opportunity to compete for it in training camp, but it just truly feels like Falele and Voorhees are going to take over those guard spots, or, you know, Falele keeping his spot and feels like Voorhees will take back that left guard spot. So that'll probably be what Baltimore rolls with. And they'll just have to hope that both those guys can improve off of last year, Falele's full year, and then Voorhees obviously at the beginning of the season before he got injured.
He is Kevin Allstriker, joins us every Tuesday, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, USA Today. It's the Ravens Wire. Kevin, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday. We'll talk to you next week and start talking about that schedule release the day after.
Oh, yeah, guys. Appreciate you having me. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kim.
Oh, yeah, another overblown NFL thing. But anyway, we'll come back. It's the whip around. We'll talk about what happened in the NBA and the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we'll talk about the baseball season so far with Gabe Lax from USA Today. Staying with the USA Today. Talk about the season. We're into the first week of May. The Orioles, I guess, Bob Nightingale told me and Ryan Ripken Friday, most disappointing team in baseball. Who's the most surprising team in a good way so far this season?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Taco to go. Taco to. And a big Q. Taco to go. Taco to go. Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco, 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 taco. This deal's legit. Taco, taco, taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go. $2.99.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport, every game,
everything. Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the Whip Around. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. NBA playoffs last night. Eastern Conference Game 1 semifinals. Celtics cruising against the Knicks at home, up 20. Kind of rolling along, but the Knicks, they just don't disappear and go quietly into the night. Jalen Brunson, brilliance. OG Anunoby, brilliance, both with 29. Celtics win in OT. They say these three-level scorers, a new term made. Jalen Brunson's that. I mean, you got the guys that dunk or create around the rim, and then you got guys that bang threes. And his mid-range game is incredible. So Jalen Brunson
missed that layup to win it at the end.
Well, you know, you can't make them all. OG Anunoby, 29. The Cat had 14 and 13. As New York comes from behind, stuns the Celtics, 108-105. They win game one. Tatum and Brown both had 23 for Boston, licking their wounds. They'll regroup tomorrow night in game two. But New York, big win for them, trying to get to the conference finals for the first time in a couple of presidents, shall we say, in New York. And then in a Western Conference, Nolan, we're doing buy or sell with this long rest for the Thunder have an adverse effect. I bought it. I even said take Denver getting the 9.5. Didn't bet on it, though. Sometimes follow your own advice. It's the best advice you could do. But this game was dramatic. Denver was trailing pretty much most of the time. And then a guy that a week ago I said, watch out in the playoffs, kind of hit the game-winning shot there.
It rims out. Brown grabs it. 7 seconds left. Westbrook, 5 seconds. They're down by one. Gordon got it. Aaron Gordon with a deep shot. Williams, three-quarter court. No good. The Nuggets steal game one.
TNT on the call. Iron Eagle, Aaron Gordon, three-pointer with 2.8 seconds left. Denver out of timeouts. OKC. Couldn't get off that half-court thriller. Gordon finishes with 22 and 14. As Ian Eagle said it properly, stole game one. OKC was cruising the whole time. Chet Holmgren, anybody see my basketball? He bricked two foul shots right before Gordon hit the three. How about the Joker? Quiet day at the office, huh? 42, 22, and 6. Yeah, he's not a beast. The other candidate for MVP, on the losing side, SGA, Nolan's boy, 33, 10, and 8. Aaron Wiggins, Maryland, had 5 points, 4 rebounds. But the Nuggets steal game one over the Thunder. So both number one seeds, after long layoffs, lose at home in game one. Bet the farm on Cleveland tonight, game two against Indiana. By the way, getting back to Boston, they missed 45 threes.
45 threes. They took 60. They made 15 of them. They missed 45.
And tell me again why this era of basketball is better than, say, 1985, when they may have taken five threes in the entirety of the game. 45 bricks, and they still lost in overtime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right, whatever. Everybody can dribble between their legs and carry the ball and dunk. Yeah, whatever. That's great. Make a shot. But I digress. Cleveland tonight, Indiana. Pacers up one. And then Golden State at Minnesota. Game one of that series on TNT, 9:30. If I'm betting my farm.
Minnesota.
On Cleveland tonight, I'm betting my tractor on Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree with
tonight
you.
Tonight in that game. Stanley Cup playoffs. Maple Leafs up. Then got dicey against Florida. They win 5-4 over the Panthers to take game one of that Eastern Conference semifinal series. But it looked like puppy pants, and then those pants got real tight.
Well, I mean, Toronto came out. They scored in the first 33 seconds. Nylander scored. Bad shot, or bad play by Bobrovsky. But they were up 3-1 after one, outshot them 12-4. I mean, it was an onslaught, and Florida was not ready to roll. Florida was not playing like Florida. And then in the second period, 4-1. And then in the third, Florida kind of got their stuff together. And they made it 4-1, 4-2, 4-3. And then Nye scored for Toronto, make it 5-3. You know, so then Florida scored one late. But in the second period, Stolarz, the goalie for Toronto, Sam Bennett from Florida hit him. Concussion, I believe, over on the bench throwing up.
Ooh.
And then Wohl had to come in, and he played. They both basically played 30 minutes, you know. So he was in there for a period and a half, and he gave up three goals. So he had 17 saves. So we'll see how that one goes next year. Who's playing goal?
Yeah, the Leafs getting it on. Tonight, Edmonton at Vegas, game one of that series. And then, of course, the Capitals hosting Carolina, game one of this Eastern Conference semifinals. A lot of people saying Carolina's kind of a live dog in this.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people are taking them. I think the Caps need to win this first one at home. They need to come out. I mean, both teams have been off for a while. So Logan Thompson needs to play well. You know, and if Ovi can keep on scoring, Strome's going to be the key. I mean, Strome, their centerman, and Tom Wilson, they got to play well. But it's going to be a physical series, and it would not shock me if it goes seven.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It's the whip around here on this Turn It Up Tuesday, this day in Orioles history. Let's see, 1983, Memorial Stadium, Birds beat the A's 9-2. Cal Ripken, two home runs and four ribbies. Disco Dan Ford, he was 3-for-5 with a homer and two driven in. Dennis Martinez, complete game 8 hitter for the eventual world champions. 1997, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Orioles beat the Angels. Anaheim Angels. What a terrible rebrand. They went from California Angels to the Anaheim Angels with those stupid hats with the wings coming out of it. Oh, brutal. And the Orioles treated him accordingly. Eric Davis, 4-for-4 with a homer. Cal hit a grand slam. Scott Erickson went 8 innings for his 5th win. Randy Myers, 12th save. And then 2012, Nolan, you'll remember this one. Fenway Park, 9-6 Orioles. J.J. Hardy, 5-for-8 with two homers. Robert Andino, Adam Jones both went deep. 17-inning affair. Winning pitcher for the Orioles, Chris Davis.
Yep.
Went two shutout innings. Was thrown like in the low 90s as well. And back in those days, me and Zeno were working together at the time. We had Chris Davis on the next day. Orioles were very accommodating.
6-hour affair, by the way.
Yeah.
6-hour game.
Losing pitcher for Boston was former Oriole first-round pick Darnell McDonald, who, by the way, was an outfielder. So 17 innings in, we got down to position players. But the Orioles, that magical season of 2012, got a win at Fenway 96. Oh, and 41 years ago, 1984, I apologize, Cal hit for the cycle. against the Texas Rangers. We'll come back, talk current day baseball. Gabe Lax, USA Today, Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, 11:45. You want to vent on Justin Tucker getting released, or you want to applaud the Ravens? Whatever your thought process is, we'll get to you. If you're on the phones, we'll take you then as well. And then news from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Gee, I wonder what we're talking about.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Taco to go, taco to, and a big queue. Taco to go, taco to go.
We just review.
Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't
taco,
lose.
Taco to go, taco to,
this deal legit.
Taco to go.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go,
$2.99.
And more as we're into the first week of May from USA Today. Let's welcome back to the show on the Window Nation guest hotline, Gabe Lax. Gabe, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Oh, all right. Another week, another choose your own adventure, I guess, for the Orioles and everyone else.
Now, for the Orioles, and of course, we're based in Baltimore. We're all Oriole fans here, as we want the team to get to the World Series for the first time since Reagan's first term. But is it fair to say that as we hit the first week, about to wrap up the first week of May, the Orioles are the most disappointing team in baseball? And if they're not, who would be, in your opinion?
Oh, boy. That's the easy answer and probably the correct answer. Simply because the record doesn't lie, the numbers don't lie. I think anybody else you put in that category would be nitpicking a little bit. Like the Rangers are disappointed. They fired their quote unquote offensive coordinator. They're a little below 500 after getting great pitching, you know. But you just look at the totality of the failures around the Orioles and the record and the run differential. I think that's a pretty easy call at this point.
Now, what does Baltimore have to do to not be the most disappointing team? And Mike Elias was on our morning show, Gabe, earlier today, and he mentioned the injuries, not using that as an excuse. Charlie Morton's been an unmitigated disaster. The offense inconsistent. I mean, they allowed Kansas City to hit 10 home runs over the weekend when they came in with 15 as a team. Is there still hope for this season, or is it kind of like, wow, man, there's just too much for them to overcome, even though we're only in the first week of May?
Gosh, I would say yes and yes, because the team is talented, and they're going to hit. They're going to rake, I think, most of these guys. I think they're going to be fine offensively, especially when Jordan Westberg gets back, guys like that. The pitching is just such a problem. I mean, it's funny, you mentioned they've won two series this year, and that's kind of an easy way to break it down. At the start of every series, you look at the pitching matchups and you go, well, how many games are they going to win this series? And you go, they should win that one. Maybe have a chance to win that one. And they're definitely not going to win that one. It's kind of, you look at the Swiss series, Bovich and Pablo Lopez, the mystery guest versus Simeon Woods Richardson, and then, you wrap it up with Dean Kramer and Joe Ryan. I mean, that's those all look like potential L's. You don't have that feeling like, okay, we've got this one in the bag. So it is funny though. I think I think this season, strange as it sounds, is going to come down to guys like Dean Kramer, who bottom hasn't totally fallen out on them. Notorious slow starter. Look how much better they looked at that point in time when he pitched, six, seven shutout innings on Friday night. They'd won three in a row. They had a great chance to win a series. Entirely different complexion. Your team feels so different when it's pitching well. And, let's just put Charlie Morton aside for a minute and just think that, if Kramer and Povich pitch well,
combine that with Sagano, combine that with Zach Eflin coming back, that gives you a shot. Right now, on paper, they don't have much of a shot to win every series, and you got to win series to make the playoffs.
Gabe Lax, USA Today, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. All right, let's get away from the Orioles, their struggles, and talk about a real surprise, I guess, maybe. Because if you look at the A's last year, which obviously you do, they showed a pulse big time in the second half. They win a dramatic game last night against the Mariners. They're a game out of first in limbo, playing in Sacramento with Vegas looming here. But what about Oakland stockpiling a ton of talent? They remind me, Gabe, of the Orioles back in 2022, second half of the Orioles season, where Adley came up and then Gunner. And all of a sudden, look at these dudes coming out of nowhere.
It's a little bit crazy, especially when you consider the ramifications of playing in this minor league park, of having to walk to center field you can't go downstairs and have a snack or whatnot. You got to go to center field to go to your clubhouse. That's just insane, you know. But it's really kind of amazing how it's coming together, especially when you look at the combination of recent draftees and guys that they got in trade and were able to kind of, you know, rehabilitate a little bit. Guys like Shea Langeliers, J.J. Bladé, he was kind of just treading water, you know, going nowhere with the Marlins. And then you look at the young core, Nick Kurtz is up, massive power, you know, and that's how quickly it can happen. You go from the draft to the big leagues just like that. And, you know, they got another real high draft pick this year, I think number 11. Combine that with just the utter breakout of Tyler Soderstrom, who nobody saw coming. So you're both reaping the benefits of drafting high and drafting relatively well, being mandated to spend money by the collective bargaining agreement. So that's why they've got, you know, the major leagues leader in innings pitch, Luis Severino. That makes a big difference for a young pitching staff. And then found money, you know, in the form of guys like Bladé, where maybe you didn't count on them breaking out so well, but here we go, along with potentially the AL Rookie of the Year and Jacob Wilson. So it's very surprising, sustainable. We'll see when that weather heats up and those young pitchers run into some innings and stuff like that. You know, we'll see if the second quarter will be as good as the first quarter and beyond. But it's pretty remarkable. Big credit to general manager David Force there, who had to do so much dirty work for owner John Fisher, trading all these guys, trading them in fire sales, crisis trades, where he didn't get much back because everybody knew he had to trade them. That's no way to do business. So, really nice job of him to kind of recoup and rejigger a little bit while utter chaos was enveloping the organization.
Hey, Gabe, are you more surprised by the AL Central, especially Detroit, Cleveland, Kansas City, or by the lackluster AL East?
Definitely more surprised by the lackluster AL East. Let's start with the Central. The popular theory last year was that their three playoff teams simply beat up on the White Sox, and that's why they were able to kind of tilt the record in their favor. But the Tigers have they've hit the gas, and the additions of Kleber Torres and Jack Flaherty coming back really solidified the roster, gave them depth. The rebirth of Javi Baez, Casey Mize, Spencer Torkelson, that's a very good team. And I think, I don't know if they're going to run away with it per se, but, the Guardians are right there. Also pretty surprising, just given the dearth of offense there. And then maybe we saw the Royals get their sea legs against the Orioles, which a lot of teams seem to do, Cincinnati Reds for one. But, you kind of saw the Royals of old last weekend. The Yankees are kind of a mess in a lot of ways, with so many injuries and parts that don't fit right now real well. And they were pretty thin on depth to begin with. I think we're seeing that now. And then the Red Sox, a lot of pitching concerns. And now Walker Buehler on the IL. You know, it was going to be a little touch and go as it was. But, a lot of things have worked out really well for them. The crochet thing, obviously, it's nice to have an ace. Bregman looking like the AL MVP. And now Devers is hitting just fine as the DH. So a potent lineup. But, again, don't think they're going to be pitching enough to you know, to kind of be much more than a little bit above 500 throughout the course of the year. So I think you were seeing what the Red Sox are, and that's probably a 84-win team and a roll of the dice come the end of September to get into the playoffs.
Gabe Lax, USA Today, talks baseball with us periodically here on Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Gabe, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Turning Up Tuesday, wherever you are. Crank it up to 12 and enjoy that tune.
All right. Thanks, guys.
It's yep. Gabe Lax, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Reset coming up next. News from the Nest. If we don't get to your calls next segment, we'll get you at the top of the hour. Justin Tucker is gone by herself. Where's the Turn It Up Tuesday, Monday? Money will hopefully count it in about 12, 15 or so. Steve Molesky. Tug Orioles with him as the Birds are struggling, going off to Minnesota, struggling for the season, but playing better as of late. Bring Nolan McGraw in. If you're on the phones, you will be part of our News from the Nest fun. So Jason and Tom, stick around. Top of the hour, you will be front and center here on the phone calls. But Nolan, how you feeling? You've had another hour to process everything that's going on here.
Yeah, no, I mean, still not surprised. I think, you know, it's pretty surface level with everything that's happened with Tucker here in the past 24 hours. Ravens, why they put out the statement that they did. Also not surprised at the reaction on a national level. People kind of up in arms. Oh, how could you ignore the ongoing investigation and everything? I mean, just dig a little bit deeper. You know, it's not on the surface, but it's right there. But you know how people are. They're going to have that reaction anyway. And really, as we move forward here, depending on what the league says, would not surprise me at all if he's with a new team before the start of the season. Teams are always looking for new kickers. They are probably the biggest scapegoat in the sport, besides quarterbacks, coaches. Most expendable, for sure, where a quarterback gets scapegoated, but you're so financially committed to them.
Yeah.
And you want to give them a lot of time that you kind of let things ride. But with a kicker, I mean, teams will cycle through three or four in a season if they don't like what they've got. So his track record, still the all-time highest success rate on field goals. I would be stunned if he didn't have a new home.
Yeah, Super Bowl ring, still has the record for the longest field goal made. There's one team that's not signing him, and that would be Cleveland, I'm assuming here. They're not going down that rabbit hole again, are they?
No.
Well, the Browns, however.
Nobody will sign him till they hear what the NFL is going to say. Mm-hmm. And then I'm guessing that if it's like Watson and they have a legitimate case, he's getting a year.
He's 35 now.
Yeah.
I don't think he's lost oomph off the leg in regards to how far he can kick it. He just doesn't kick it as straight as he used to kick it. And maybe that's got something to do with leg strength decreasing a little bit. Right. Moving that thing 65 yards on a regular basis here.
And you know what, Nolan? Somebody that, if he was suspended, somebody that could bring him back? Somebody with a dome, you know, wouldn't be a bad thing.
Hey, look, Greg Zuerlein got a job for 5,000 years. If Tucker's cleared, he's certainly going to be back in the National Football League.
Right, and it might even be best for him to start with a new team. Like, let's say the Ravens decided to keep him and the league investigation came back relatively clean. Minimal suspension or maybe no suspension at all. Just with everything that happened, I just feel like it would be this cloud hanging over him in the season. You know, he heard the things that were said by the fan base, the way the media reacted and everything, that maybe starting clean for him or starting with a new team would just be best for him. So we'll see what happens.
I just say, you know, like if it was like two or three, I could, but with 16, that's the killer right there.
We have time for a fun house?
Yeah, we'll do a few.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Fun House.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
More thoughts on Tucker. This texter says, way too early to talk about Ring of Honor or especially the Hall of Fame with Tucker. On field, worthy of the Ring of Honor, but with how things ended here, depending on what gets revealed by the NFL, I think the organization might ignore him moving forward.
Ray Rice is up, right?
He is not in the Ring of Honor.
He is not.
He was at halftime, legend of the game.
And the team has brought him back to speak to the team about what he went through. a cautionary tale.
It'll be interesting to see, because that's all Bisciotti call, you know, on
and
the Ring
the way,
of Honor.
And to the texter's point, that's fair. I mean, it's probably appropriate, too. Before we start anointing him and giving him, you know, these accolades for what he's accomplished, let's see how the investigation proceeds here.
Let's see. This one here says the football decision narrative not being bought by anyone.
No.
But it would have been really awkward if he was his usual self last year. Nearly perfect game winners of 50 plus. I think at that point, they would have had to wait for an NFL decision because there wouldn't have been a way to spin the narrative to football.
I agree with that. I agree with that. But, you know, I mean, they said that they were going to bring in competition because of what happened. So it gave them kind of a easier out.
And one last one here. This one Orioles related. Texter says, I seem to remember the Orioles playing pretty well against the Twins last year, and my gut was correct. They went 6-0 against Minnesota. And yes, half of those games took place in September when the team was slumping. Hopefully a get-right series for them this week.
Well, that was last year.
Right.
I mean, the 69 Orioles swept them in the ALCS at three games, but that was 50-some years ago. Minnesota's actually trending upwards here as they've won six of their last 10 games, two in a row. And Lopez, a very difficult pitcher to deal with. And we'll get into the breakdown of the series and of the game and the AL East standings with the AL East Report 115. Talk more about it with Steve Molesky. But saying that the Orioles are the most disappointing team in baseball, I don't think that's egregious at all.
Not with where the expectations
were. They were picked by a lot of people to win the division. And right now, the division is kind of up for grabs because the Yankees, they've been crapping the bed here lately. Their closer, Devin Williams, he blew it again last night. It's 5880-1057 The Fed. News from the Nest. We're going to talk more about Justin Tucker, Ravens in general. So stay tuned. That's coming up. Buy or sell. Where's the money? And then Steve Molesky, as we said, we'll talk Orioles scuffling here 33 games into the season.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Taco to go. Taco to.
And a big Q.
Taco to go.
Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Taco to go.